Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We'd like to read from Matthew chapter 9, the first two verses. Reading now from Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." The main thought that's on my heart this morning is the fact that God's people ought to be of good cheer. We ought to be happy. We ought to be rejoicing. The Word of God says that we're to rejoice evermore. The Scripture tells us that Jesus says that we're not to rejoice in certain things, but we are to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. That's a great blessing to know that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I think about Jesus coming to this man who was sick of the palsy. He was unable to walk. He had to be carried. And if you had been that man and Jesus came walking up to you and he said, "Son, be of good cheer." If he were to say those words to me and I was sick of the palsy and he said, "Son, be of good cheer," I would think that he was about to say, "I'm going to heal you." That's not what he said. He said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, brethren, I believe that that truth and knowing that truth ought to make us happy no matter what else is going on in our lives. In fact, as we study the Word of God, there are about six or eight times that the Word of God tells us to be of good cheer. And every time the Word of God says to be of good cheer, it is never talking about be of good cheer because I'm going to heal you, or be of good cheer because I'm going to make you rich, or be of good cheer because I'm going to bless you in some other way. It's always be of good cheer because your sins are forgiven you. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer because I am with you in the storms of life. Be of good cheer because the power of God and the glory of God will rest upon you. All of those are the statements that are always connected to be of good cheer. And to this man, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Brethren, how thankful are we as we think about all the blessings of life? Probably number one on the list, it ought to be how thankful we are that our sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ. We're going to be in the eternal heaven, not because of our righteousness, not because of our works, but we're going to be in the eternal heaven because of the amazing grace of God and because God has forgiven us of our sins. And we need to thank God. Not only are we able to look forward to eternal heaven because our sins are forgiven us, but there's also a practical forgiveness that's taught in the Word of God, and we can experience forgiveness in our lives when we have sinned. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I need to thank God that when I feel the weight of sin, I need to thank God that I can experience forgiveness, as well as thanking God that I have been forgiven 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. So I would say to you this morning, just like Jesus said to this man, that it does not matter what your problems are. I would say to you, son, isn't that a wonderful blessing? Just the fact that God would call you a son. Son, that's a great blessing to be a child of God. And He said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. My sins are forgiven eternally and forever. My sins and your sins and the sins of all of God's people, they have been removed as far away from us as the east is from the west. Our sins are to be remembered no more by God. Our sins are forgiven. When Jesus Christ declared those words and had shed the blood, His precious blood, He gave His blood that our sins would be forgiven. Old and New Testaments, the people of God have always been rejoicing that their sins would be forgiven, that their righteousness would not be their own righteousness, but that their righteousness would be the righteousness of God, that they would be clothed by God. Now, we're taught to put on righteousness, but that's not what's mainly on my mind right now. I need to be of good cheer because my sins have been forgiven me. I need to be of good cheer because I stand before God forgiven. I stand before God, and one day in that final resurrection, brethren, I'm not going to be judged in the final resurrection. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. We're going to be with the Lord forever because we've been forgiven of our sins. That's a good reason to rejoice. I ought to be rejoicing every day just for that reason. Son, I know you have palsy. Son, I know you have financial problems. Son, I know you have sicknesses. I know you have pain. I know you have troubles. I know you have storms in your life. But He says, be of good cheer anyway. Amen. Doesn't matter what your problems are. Be of good cheer just for this one reason, because your sins have been forgiven. That's a reason to be happy no matter what else is going on. My wife has a lot of aches and pains, and I'm beginning to get just as bad as many as she has. The older you get, the more you begin to feel aches and pains in your body. And as you feel those aches and pains, you sometimes are not able to sleep at night because of your pains. But as I laid there last night, hurting in different ways, when I played football with my grandchildren yesterday, I was hurting during the night. And I want you to know, brethren, that as I lay there and I hurt, and I thought about this man, that Jesus said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I still hurt. And I was rubbing those places where I hurt. But I'm telling you, I was a happy man because I was thinking about what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. I can face my troubles and problems. I can face all that I have to face in my life because my sin. I can be happy. I can be of good cheer. I can rejoice evermore because my sins have been forgiven me. Back up in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61 and listen to what Isaiah says about how happy he was, how greatly he rejoiced, how he was of good cheer because of what God had done for him. in Isaiah chapter 61. Look in your Bibles, please, at Isaiah chapter 61. Just for the sake of time, just come down to verse 10. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, the scripture says, Isaiah speaking, he says, I will greatly rejoice. Isn't that good? Was he just a little happy, or was he full of joy? We ought to be happy, full of joy. Be of good cheer. Rejoice evermore. He says, I will greatly rejoice because I've got money. I will greatly rejoice because I'm of good health. I will greatly rejoice because I've got 8 grandchildren. I've got 2 great nephews. I will greatly rejoice because I have the privilege of preaching the gospel. I'll greatly rejoice because, listen, brethren, that's not what Paul or Peter or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, that wasn't the focus of the main reason they were happy. They had all of the other blessings of life. They were thankful for those blessings, and they were happy for those blessings. But there's something that was superior to all of that. And that's the righteousness of God that is upon us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah says here, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. Do you hear that? You might get a pretty suit. You might look nice. You might get a pretty dress. You might look nice. I'm telling you, unless God has clothed you, the scripture says here, I will greatly rejoice because God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. You know my salvation. You know how I am saved? You know how I got saved eternally? You know how I'm saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? I'm so glad my daddy was a Primitive Baptist preacher. I sure am. I'm so glad I had a saintly mama. I sure am. Still have her. I'm glad I've got a saintly sister. But did you know that none of them have ever saved anybody from eternal hell to eternal heaven? I've been preaching for 39 years. You know how many people I've ever saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? Zero. You know who saved you and you and me? You know who saved us all? You know who has clothed us with the garments of salvation? God did. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice. I've got clothing. It doesn't matter if I never have a suit. It doesn't matter if I'm in rags the rest of my life. I can be happy because I've got better clothes than natural clothes. I'm clothed with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Clothed me. He clothed me. He covered me. He took care of me. Because I couldn't do anything about it. Therefore, God clothed me with the garments of salvation. He covered me with the robe of righteousness. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. You have any reason to be of good cheer today? Now, I want you to remember, he said to that man who had palsy. How many of you remember Sister Sarinelle Eason? Most of you don't because you weren't here when she was here. But Sister Sarinelle Eason used to sit right over here, and her mother was a charter member of the church, I believe. And Sister Sarinelle Eason had cerebral palsy, and she couldn't talk very well, and she couldn't walk very well. She had palsy, and yet she was happy. She was full of joy most of the time because her concentration was not on her problems, but her concentration was on the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God that had saved her from her sins. You know where she is today? She's with God in heaven. Not because of anything she did, but because God clothed her. God put this robe of righteousness on her. God clothed her with the garments of salvation. God didn't say to her, whenever she died, God didn't say, well done, Sarinelle. You're going to go to heaven because you've been good enough. No, she went to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. She went to heaven because Jesus said to her, just like he did to this man, he said, daughter, thy sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. No matter what your problems are, don't talk. I'm not interested. I am. I'm interested in your problem, but you understand what I'm saying. The idea that we would go around murmuring and complaining about what problems we have is a shame and a disgrace. I don't care what problems and troubles you have, your problems and troubles are nothing compared to a lot of other people that are all around you every day. You think you've got troubles and problems? Spend one day with me. I'll take you to people that really, really, really have problems and troubles, who are still happy anyway. They're of good cheer anyway. You know why they're good cheer anyway? You know why they're of good cheer anyway? Because they've heard the words of Jesus, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And that makes them happy. Go with me back to the New Testament. Turn with me to John chapter 16. John's a beautiful book of the Bible. I encourage you to read and study the book of John several times. As you read the book of John, you'll see a lot about the love of God and believing in the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And John chapter 16, Jesus is closing out a long message that he gave to his disciples. Beginning in John 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be worried. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And he goes through and he speaks about it. He says, "My peace I give unto you." You want to have reason to rejoice? Jesus has given you peace beyond anything this world has to offer. And then he closes, listen, in John 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Do you have that peace of God that passeth all understanding? This is John 16, verse. Do you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding? If you don't have it, you need to pray, "God, help me to find the peace of God that passeth all understanding." If you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, son, be of good cheer. In fact, I don't think there's any way you cannot be of good cheer when you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So Jesus says to his apostles here, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Now, what was the problem that palsied man had? What was his problem? He had what? Palsy. There's nobody here that knows the severity of having palsy. Not a person in this building. You can't comprehend what it's like to have palsy. And yet Jesus said to that man that had palsy, "Son, be of good cheer." Now Jesus says to his apostles here, he says in John 16, 33, he says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." And if you have tribulation, every child of God has tribulation. Every faithful child of God especially has tribulation. And so Jesus is very honest with us and says, "You're going to have tribulation." Then he says this, "In the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why? Because I'm going to get rid of all your tribulations? Is that what he's talking about? Did he say to that palsied man, "Son, be of good cheer because I'm going to get rid of your palsy"? No, he doesn't say that to that man. Neither does he say that to his apostles when he says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." And then he says, "Son, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world." What a wonderful blessing. I've got a Savior who has overcome the world. I'm a happy, happy, happy man because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. Jesus has overcome the world. The devil and all of his angels, all the people, everybody that hates Jesus Christ, he overcame them all. He overcame the world. He overcame the devil. The devil came at him with everything he could come at. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread." And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And the devil just kept attacking and attacking and attacking. And Jesus every time said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And he overcame the devil by the word of God. I've overcome the world. Are you happy today because Jesus has overcome the world? Did you know if he hadn't overcome the world, you'd be lost eternally? If he had not overcome the world, you'd die and go to hell forever. But he has overcome the world. Therefore, I'm happy. I can be of good cheer. I can rejoice forever because Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. And I can rejoice forever because Jesus has overcome the world. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Very quickly, Acts chapter 27. The Word of God tells us about the Apostle Paul and others that were in a ship. And let me tell you something, brethren, all of you have your own little ship. First of all, just your life is a little ship. And your family is a little ship. And this church is a little ship. And this nation is a ship. I'm telling you, brethren, this nation is in the middle of a storm and we're rocking to and fro and the waves are about to destroy our nation. Did God know that this storm was coming when Paul and these others were put on this ship? Did God know all about the storm? P.S. God sent the storm. God sent this storm. God even told Paul before they went out, you warn them, don't go. And they went anyway. So they get out in the ship and the storm starts coming. And for many days, the scripture in Acts 27, starting in verse especially 18 through the end of the chapter, but starting in verse 18, it talks about for many days, they did not see the sun or the stars. Now I want you to think about that. We have two or three days of rain. I sure am glad to see, you know what I'm glad to see after two or three days of rain? I'm glad to see the sun. I'm glad to see the sun. There's a big difference in being in a storm, sitting in your house, and being in a storm in the middle of the sea. And that's where they were. And the scripture says all hope was lost. They had thrown everything they could overboard. They had tried everything. They had rowed as hard as they could. They did everything they could do. And they knew they were going to die anyway. But Jesus speaks to Paul and says in Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. Here's Jesus says, and now I exhort you to what? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? Is the storm over? Was the storm over? No. In fact, the storm continued and things got worse. You know, have you ever heard people say, oh, it can't get any worse than this? You fasten your seatbelt. It can get worse than this. No matter how bad it is, it can get worse. And this storm got worse. And then it got better. Then it got worse again. And then they had more. Then they had a shipwreck. And I'm telling you, brethren, in this world, you shall have tribulations. You're going to have trouble. You're going to be persecuted. Jesus says, blessed are ye. Blessed are ye. Blessed are they. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says, rejoice! I don't want to do that when I'm going through those kinds of problems. But Jesus says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And that's not eternal heaven, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's been talking about throughout that Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, he's talking about the sermon in the kingdom of heaven. But now listen right here. He says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of, this is what Paul is telling the people, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I belong to him. Why do you belong to him? Because Jesus paid for my sins. Whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that shall sail with thee, that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, now see, he's saying the second time to them, he says, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Do you believe God? Do you believe God will take care of you? Do you believe that God has said, now you're going to have to go through some storms in life. You're going to have to go through some storms. Do you believe God's going to be with you through those storms? God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, see, he didn't promise. I would have loved for him to have said to that palsied man at first, I wish he would have just said, son, be of good cheer, I'm fixing to heal you. He could have said that. He did heal him, by the way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he said, son, be of good cheer, you're not going to have any storms in life. You're not going to have any more storms. Oh, that sounds good to me. But he didn't say you're not going to have any more storms. He says, when you have the storms, I'm going to be with you. And so Paul is exhorting these people on the ship. He says, be of good cheer. Twice he says, be of good cheer because I believe God. And then in verse 36, the scripture says, then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. You know what they did right after this? They threw the wheat they had left over. They threw it all over this overboard. They knew God was going to take care of them. They got rid of all substance they had in the ship. God will be with you in the middle of the storms of life. Go with me very quickly to, there's about 10 other scriptures. Let's go to Habakkuk. Please back up in your Bibles to Habakkuk. We'll close right here with Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. I encourage you to memorize these verses of scripture because what this is saying is that no matter how bad things get, it doesn't matter if you have no food on the shelf. It doesn't matter if you have no meat in the freezer. It doesn't matter if all the food is gone. It doesn't matter if all your money is gone. It doesn't matter if all your friends are gone. You can still be of good cheer in spite of all the troubles in life. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? I remember many, many years ago, I said to an older friend of mine who was a preacher, this was when I was a young man, he said, how are you doing, Brother Bill? And I said, well, pretty good under the circumstances. He said, oh, Brother Bill, I didn't know you ever got under the circumstances. You're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. By the power of God and with the grace of God, you ought to never be under the circumstances. And, you know, he gave me a good little lesson there. You know, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. That man sick of the palsy, could he say, I'm doing fine. My sins have been forgiven me. Could Paul say, I'm doing fine. What about under the circumstances, Paul? Don't you know what you're still in this? I don't care. I'm doing fine. I'm of good cheer anyway. Habakkuk 3:17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. He's going to be of good cheer anyway, even though he doesn't have anything. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Isn't that wonderful? Although all these bad things happen, he says, I'm going to rejoice anyway. Although I might end up with a stroke, I might end up with palsy, I might end up with cancer, I might end up with anything else, I will rejoice in the Lord always. I'll be of good cheer anyway. I won't be found under the circumstances because God has given me the power to trample Satan under my feet and get on top of all the circumstances in life. I will look at the blessings I have rather than the troubles I have. I hope I will just do all that I just said, and I hope you'll do all that I just said, because then we will honor God because we're of good cheer because of what he's told us. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
If you have your Bibles, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Peter. I would like to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, just read the third verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I encourage you to look at God's holy word and follow as we try to study the word of God this morning. And we'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The word of God says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want you to notice that Peter, above anyone else, Peter, I think, could rejoice in the fact that God had begotten them again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We rejoice today in celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but I don't think that we can comprehend all that Peter had felt whenever he had denied Christ, and then he had seen Christ crucified, and he had seen Christ die on the cross of Calvary. He had seen him buried, and the Word of God tells us that Peter and all the other apostles, that all hope was lost. They had no hope. They had no confidence. They had no joy. They had no peace. There was nothing in their lives left because their Savior, the one who had, they did not fully comprehend, but he had redeemed them. But they thought that he was their king. They thought that he was going to reign. They said, they'd all been preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They thought Jesus was the king. And now instead of seeing him lifted up as the king, they see him buried. And so all hope was lost. And then after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter says that God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I tell you this morning, brethren, that we, every one of us, ought to have a lively hope. That is a confidence and joy and peace every single day as we think about our risen Lord, who is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right now, Jesus is reigning. Now, when Jesus came into the world and was born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus had a lot of different works that he was to do. One of the things that he was to do was to set an example for us about how to live. He taught us, we read in Matthew chapter 4, he taught us how to resist the devil. That every time the devil came to him and tempted him, every time he would say, "It is written." And he defeated all the temptations of the devil and defeated the devil. And God's given us the power today to defeat Satan every day of our lives. No matter what he tries to do, no matter how he tries to get us down, no matter what he brings in our lives, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we have a lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gave us an example while he was here. That was one of his works while he was here on the earth. He established his church while he was here on the earth. He came and he taught his people the truth that's in the Word of God. He taught them the truth. The Word of God tells us also that Jesus helped many different people while he was here on the earth. But the most important thing that Jesus came to do was to save his people from their sins. And you remember that in John chapter 17 and verse 3, or rather verse 4, in John 17 and verse 4, as Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed these words and he said, "Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Now, brethren, Jesus lived his life and he had a work to do. He had a lot of works to do. And as he was praying that prayer, even before he went to the cross of Calvary, he had already finished a lot of the works that God had given him to do. And he says, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." But then, later, that was John 17 and verse 4. Then in John chapter 19 and verse 30, as Jesus is hanging on the cross of Calvary and he's about to die, he said, "It is finished." And the work that he was talking about in John 19, 30 was completely different than the work he spoke of in John 17 and verse 4. John 17, 4, there were a lot of works he had already finished, but in John 19, 30, he finished the most important work of him coming into the earth. He had died for our sins. He shed his blood for our sins. And so it is that we thank God that Jesus died, but we also are begotten again into a lively hope because he lives. Now, is there still a work for Jesus to do? Is Jesus still working today? I think that so many people, when they think about Jesus, they think about He died and He rose again, and then there's nothing for Jesus to do until finally He's going to come back to the earth and raise the people of God from the dead. But I declare unto you this morning that I have a lively hope today, not only because He has saved me from my sins, not only because He rose from the grave, but I have a lively hope today because Jesus is ruling and reigning right now. Jesus, when He arose from the grave, He rose and sat at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus today, right now, though it had been prophesied many times that the King was coming and the King was going to establish His kingdom, and no one saw the King, no one saw the kingdom while He was here on this earth. But I'll tell you right now, the kingdom has come and the King is reigning today. And so we can have a lively hope in our lives. We can rejoice today because the King is on His throne. The King is now ruling. I get upset sometimes at the rulers that we have over us today. I get sometimes upset at people that we work hard to elect, and then we get many elected and they just don't do what they said they were going to do. All of that frustrates me. But I want you to know there's somebody that is ruling, that's ruling correctly and ruling in righteousness, and that's Jesus Christ. So my lively hope is that there is a King of Kings. There's someone over all the other rulers of the earth. And my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness as far as my salvation. But my hope for us day by day in our lives is not in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the government. My hope today and my hope for tomorrow, my hope for the future, for me, my children, and my grandchildren is not in the government, but my hope is in the resurrected Jesus Christ, who is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can rejoice every day. Did you hear what Peter said? He said that God had begotten him to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now I've got a lively hope today. I have great confidence today. I have no fear today because of my risen King, my risen Lord, who is now the King of Kings. So is Jesus still working today? Did He finish a lot of works while He was here on this earth? He finished work after work after work, many things that the Father sent Him to do. He finished all those works. He finished every work that the Father gave Him to do while He was here on this earth. And now He's risen and He still has works that He's doing. In addition to reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is the only mediator between us and the Father. And every time you go to the Father in prayer, every time you approach the throne of grace, you go through Jesus Christ to get to the Father. And every gift and every blessing, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And every gift does come from the Father, but every gift comes through Jesus Christ to us. So Jesus is working today. Every time that you have troubles and problems in your life, every time you get weak and weary and faint in your lives, who is it that helps you up? It's Jesus. Go with me back, please, in your Bibles, back up to John chapter 9. Look in your Bibles, please, at John chapter 9 and verse 4. I want us to understand and rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I want us to rejoice not only in the finished work of Jesus Christ, but I want us to rejoice in the ongoing work of Jesus Christ. And I want us to know that we have been begotten again to a lively hope for a work to do. We have a work to do. It is important to understand Jesus finished His work, and Jesus is now doing another work. But God has given all of us work to do while we live here in this world. And what a glorious, wonderful thing it is to see the people of God, to see children of God working. And they're working not in order to get to heaven when they die, because Jesus has already paid the price. But we're working to honor and glorify our Heavenly Father, and who gave His only begotten Son. And we're working to please our King. We're working because we want to honor our Savior. We're happy to work for Him. Because we have a wonderful Master. We have a wonderful Lord. We have a wonderful King. And we need to be working so that before we die, we can say like the Apostle Paul, we can say, I have finished my course. I finished. Like Jesus said, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. I hope that when I die, I hope that I'll be able to say that I finished what God gave me to do. Right now, I don't think I have. There are many things I should have already done that I haven't finished. But I pray that God will help me to finish the works that God's given me to do. Now look at John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 and verse 4, the Word of God says that Jesus said, I must work the works of Him, the works. Do you hear the works plural? Did he have a lot of different works? I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Brethren, there are different applications to that, but one of the applications is that when we die, we can't work anymore. And it is, brethren, that you and I, who live a short life here on this earth, even if we live to be 70 years old, doesn't matter how old we live to be. The Bible teaches us clearly that even if a man lives to be 100 years old, our lives are still like a vapor. They go by so quickly. It's hard for me to believe I'm 65 years old. It's hard for me to believe the age of some of you in this congregation. But I'll tell you, brethren, we better get busy and finish the work that God's given us to do. Because the night is coming when no man can work. The time is coming that I won't be able to work anymore. I won't be able to do anything anymore. I'll be dead and I can't do anything at all. You know, my mother is here this morning and she's 91 years old. 91 years old. Did you know she's still working all the time? All the time. She gets out, she goes to the nursing home, she goes to the hospital, she carries old people around, she carries people to the doctor, she carries people to church, and I'm not saying that to exalt her, she goes to the hospital every Tuesday morning and functions there, working, taking care of people. Listen, brethren, she's done a lot of good works, but she's not through. Do you follow that? She's not through. I believe when she's finally through, I believe God will say, well done. God's already saying, well done. But her work will one day be over. My work will one day be over. Your work will one day be over. And I hope we can say, I finished the work. The only reason, the only way that you'll be able to do your work is if you're looking to your risen Savior. The only way that you can face today, the only way you can face tomorrow, is if you believe in your risen Savior. But if you believe that Jesus is alive and well, then you have a lively hope. You have a confidence that Jesus is on His throne. And because He's on His throne, you've got the strength, you've got the power, you've got the grace, you've got everything you need to do everything He's called on you to do. There's no work too great for you to do with the help of Jesus Christ. Now, while you're doing your work, sometimes you fall. Brother Andy sometimes gets hurt at work. Cows kick him, cows butt him, cows stomp on him. They do everything they want to do sometimes. But he falls down. Does everybody understand he falls down? When they kick him, sometimes he's down on the ground. And in all of our lives, though you might not physically fall down, in all of our lives, sometimes we fail in our work, don't we? Sometimes we fall down in our work. The Bible teaches us clearly that we've all sinned. We've all come short of glorifying God as we should. And sometimes the people of God, while they're working, sometimes they just fall down and they get right down in the cow pen or the hog pen and they're just laying in the mud and the muck. Now, brethren, you're going to fall down. You've already fallen down many times in your life. You're going to fall down. There are times you have failed, but you are not a failure unless you stop getting up. You're a failure only when you give up. You're not a failure when you get up and you go forward and you're going to fall down again, but get up again. I've failed at preaching a bunch of times. And every time I fail at preaching, I want to turn it all in. You understand what I'm saying? It's over. I've quit preaching more than any preacher I know. I've given up. I've said, well, I can't preach anymore. But listen, brethren, you know who works on me then, that night? My Lord. You know, comes to me and sometimes he'll come to me and he'll rub me and it's all right, little preacher. It's okay. It's all right. And sometimes he'll say, I'm ashamed of you. How in the world can you give up? How can you quit? After all that I've done for you, yes, you fell down. Yes, you didn't study as much as you needed to study this week. Yes, you didn't pray as much as you needed to pray. Yes, you got lifted up in pride, so I had to bring you down. But whatever the reason is, when I fall, I need to look to Him, my risen Lord, because He has begotten me again to a lively hope, and I can get up again and go again because Jesus is there. And that's the only reason we can get up and keep on going, no matter how many times you fall. Back up in your Bibles to Proverbs. Look quickly. It's very important. This is really the text. And the main thought that's on my heart this morning is in Proverbs chapter 24. Look in your Bibles at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Remember now that we have a great hope today. We have a lively hope. We have great confidence because we have a risen Lord. He is working today. He's doing everything He pleases today. Nobody can stop Jesus. And He's my Lord. And He's my King. And He's my Savior. And He's my elder brother. So I have nothing to fear. In Proverbs 24 and verse 16, the Word of God says, for a just man, what's the next word there? A just man falleth seven times. And what? Riseth up again. Now all of a sudden this week, this verse began to stand out to me and come back to my mind and mean something like it's never meant before and had greater meaning than before as I thought about Jesus rising up again. And I thought about how the Word of God says a wise man, a righteous man, a just man falleth. But what does he do? He falleth seven times and riseth up again. And sooner or later, what's he going to do? He's going to fall again. And then what's he going to do? He's going to look to Jesus, the living Jesus, who's still working, and He's going to help us up again. And we're going to start over, and we're going to go forward, and we're going to keep praying, God, help me. Help me not to fall again. I see all the pitfalls. I see the ways that I've messed up in the past. I don't want to go down those paths again. It's a shame and a disgrace if we fall in the same trap over and over and over again. But brethren, we have different kinds of traps that the devil sets for us. And when we get caught again and we fall down again, look to Jesus who can lift you up again. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. The wicked shall fall into mischief. In other words, he's going to fall. And the wicked man, and that can be a child of God, instead of rising up again, he's just going to do mischief. And that's the end of his working to honor and glorify God. Listen, brethren, it doesn't matter how many times you've fallen, doesn't matter how you've fallen, doesn't matter what has happened in your life to knock you down. It doesn't matter if something has come like a locomotive and knocked you down. You can get up again because of Jesus Christ. We have every reason to rejoice today, to celebrate today, because we serve a risen Savior. And no matter what happens in our lives, and no matter how many times we get knocked down or fall down, we can get up and go again by the grace of God and with the help of our risen Savior. He's there to help us every time we fall. Go with me to Proverbs 28:13. Now when you fall down, there's some specific things. When you're falling into sin, a little different than other kinds of falling that we might look at in God's Word. But when you fall into sin, when you fail to resist the devil and you fall into sin, the Word of God tells us what to do. The Word of God tells us, if you read the Word of God tells us that we need to repent. Every time you fall into sin, you need to get up and get away from that sin. Repent and turn away from sin. You need to confess your sin. You need to repent. You need to confess your sin. You need to start over. And as you start over, one of the things you need to do is you need to forget about the sin in your life in the past. Once you have confessed your sin and started over, the devil's going to keep trying to remind you of it, and you need to say, I'm sorry, Satan. Jesus has already taken care of that. That's in my past. That's over with, and I don't have to face it anymore. You deal with it. Jesus has already dealt with it for me. And so we go forward now, serving Jesus and forgetting those sins that we fell down in before. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, the Word of God says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Does God require us as his people to confess our sins? Yes, he does. And what does he do when we confess our sins? He forgives us. He has mercy on us. And then we can do what? Then we can get up and start over. Go with me very quickly in your Bibles to 1 John. Three little books in the end of the New Testament, just before Jude and Revelation. You got that, don't you, Sister Cindy? You're going to get it before I leave here. Sister Cindy's always giggling when I say 1 John, and then I say it's three little books at the end of the Bible. And the reason I say that is a lot of times new people are at church and they don't know where John is, and they turn to the Gospel of John and they can't find the scripture. So I always say, you got three little books at the end of the Bible just before Jude and Revelation, okay? 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Different than the Gospel of John. 1st John. 1st John chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. Sometimes people are so righteous, you know. Oh, preacher, I can't believe you've ever fallen. I can't believe you've fallen down. You ought to just quit preaching if you've fallen down. Now let me tell you something. The devil's already told me that many times. If it weren't for the grace of God, I would not ever preach again. But God's helped me up time and time and time again. He's helped me to start over with a renewed interest. We get tired sometimes, don't we, Brother David? We say, well, you know, we got enough young people in the church, we'll just let them take over. And then before long, after one or two of them have taken over and done good, and we think, ooh, I feel rejuvenated now. I feel ready again. And sometimes on Sunday night, I think I just don't have the strength to preach tonight. And I call on Brother Philip, or I call on one of the men of the church, and I say, I need your help. And then they preach, and before they're through, I'm thinking, oh, I wish I could preach right now. Because when somebody gets up and does a good job, it revives you. You're rejuvenated. The Lord blesses them to teach or sing or preach. And then you're revived. The Lord lifts you up under the sound of their teaching and preaching and singing. And you're ready to go again. Brother David and I won't ever retire unless our voices are gone. We might not do but one-tenth of what we're doing right now, but long as we live, we'll keep trying to do all that we can. Not for self-glory, but to the honor and glory of God. Why? Because we've been given a work to do. You've been given, all of us have been given a work to do. Do your work Jesus is right there to help you. He's alive, and he'll help you do your work. 1 John chapter 1, some people say they don't ever fall down. Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I'll tell you, brethren, people that say they don't ever fall down, they don't ever sin, they're a liar, they deceive themselves, they don't deceive anybody else. All of us in this building, I hope all of us, if you know you have sinned, if you know you're a sinner, hold up your hand if you know you're a sinner. The rest of you need to see me as soon as church is over, because you got a real problem. If we don't think that we have sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, now we have sinned. Now don't just wallow in the sin. We have fallen down. Well, don't just stay there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Andy, when those cows kick you down and stomp on you, I'm glad you get cleaned up before you come to church. I had one brother yesterday hug my neck and he said, Brother Billy, do I smell like cows? He works around cows. But I'm telling you, brethren, when you fall into sin, you need cleaning up. You need to be cleansed. And Jesus says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And I'll tell you, brethren, when you have confessed your sins and you've been cleansed by Jesus Christ, any church that doesn't want you then is not the church of Jesus Christ. When you have confessed your sins and repented and turned from your evil ways and you've started over and you've brought forth fruit, meat for repentance in your life, if the church doesn't want you, you come here because we want you. And God will have you and God will help you and God will bless you. Amazing grace, isn't it? How sweet the sound. Now, let me just mention one more thing in closing. Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus makes this statement, and I've always thought about it in a different way until last night as I was meditating over this, and how sometimes when a person falls down in sin, they just think, well, I can't ever start over. I can't start over. I can't start over. Well, when you start over, you'll go along a little ways, and then you know what the devil will do? The devil will say, do you not remember what you did back there? Don't you remember what you did? Sometimes the devil tells me that, quite often he tells me that. Have you forgotten what you did back there? Yes, by the grace of God, I've forgotten what I've done back there. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? And that's another meaning of Luke 9:62. No man having put his hand to the plow. Listen, brethren, we're working. I'm sorry, Satan, I'm working, and I don't have time for you to remind me of the past to where I fell down all over back there. So I put my hand to the plow, and no man having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, if you keep looking back and keep thinking about the sins of the past, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You have to forget those things which are behind, and then you have to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that we can get up and start over? And it's all because Jesus, now Jesus didn't fall down, and Jesus didn't get knocked down. Jesus laid down his life for us. He laid it down. And then he rose again and started all over with a new work. May God help us to rejoice in our risen Savior, and may God help us to never get knocked down that we don't look to Jesus to start over, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503, or call us 912-285-9193. Lord willing, join us next Sunday, and until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.